Well, hello there. Welcome to season 4, episode 33 of the Still Becoming podcast. Today is a solo episode. You're going to have just me. I'm not having a friend on this time to chat with. I'm actually going to be bouncing off of the conversation I had with Lisa Zaruga in episode 32 on finding that narrow path where Christians quite honestly need to walk during a very contentious time in our culture, namely the 2024 election year. It's a conversation that I have not heard many people having. We tend to avoid it. We tend to just kind of be repelled by it, or we tend to jump in with both feet, take a side, and join in. And I just want to hold up that there is a place where we can reflect Christ as political human beings, as people who care, as people who have values and stand on truth, but in a way that is effective, not in a way that is polarizing and divisive. And so that's what Lisa brought to us in episode 32. And I'm hoping that if you haven't listened to it yet, you'll go back and listen to that before we begin. Hi there, friends. Welcome to the Still Becoming podcast, a place where women like you and me find help to move from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Laura Acuna. The Still Becoming podcast is where we gather to rethink our thinking about ourselves, our lives, and about our God. We will learn to reframe our shame and trade in limiting beliefs for the liberating truth from God's word. And why the title Still Becoming? Because that's the Christian journey, isn't it? As we apply God's perfect word to our lives for growth and change, we are always growing, always learning, and still becoming the women He created us to be. It's never perfect, and it's not too late. Do I need to say that again? It is never perfect, and it is not too late. I am so glad you're here for the journey, and I'm praying that God will speak directly to you through today's episode. Are you ready? Let's go. Let's begin with a quote from Francis Schaeffer. Our relationship with each other is the measure the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. Let that sink in for a minute. Christian community is the final apologetic, and it's the measure that the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful or not. How we get along speaks volumes to an unbelieving world. I don't know about you, but my heart sunk when I heard this quote the first time, because I'm aware that not only do we live in a broken, divided secular culture, but this kind of division has seeped into the body of Christ. Just go to any social media platform and you'll see Christians attacking each other over a variety of things. And every time I read something like that, I think to myself, do you have any idea how this kills your witness to a lost and hurting world? Back in season 2, I shared on one of my episodes the concept of being a thermometer or a thermostat. A thermometer just reflects the temperature of the room that exists, what's already going on. But a thermostat sets the temperature. And as Christians, we're called to be thermostats, to set the temperature, to set the tone, and not just reflect what's going on. And in order to do that, we have to be intentional, because we're human. We're human. And we are concerned about our world. We're concerned about our culture. We don't like what we're seeing in many parts of our country, but we must be a thermostat instead of a thermometer in order for us to find that narrow path that Lisa and I talked about in episode 32. There are so many people out there who are so certain they know the truth about it all, but here's where I stand. I cannot possibly know what is truly true about any of it. I can't. Can you believe the news on either side of the aisle? Can you believe social media? And with the emergence of AI, my goodness, girls, how are we to know the truth? Maybe it's important for us to accept that we can't possibly really know the truth about what we're consuming. The older I become, the more I know what I don't know. But I'm certain of this. God knows exactly what's going on behind the scenes in every situation and every heart. His existence, involvement, and sovereignty is the only truth I'm sure of, and I'm so grateful for it. It's the rock on which I stand. It keeps me sane, knowing that I really don't have to know it all if he does. And he does. I'm not wise on my own. Adding years to my life doesn't make me a wise woman. Wisdom comes from him alone, and we should be begging him for it because we really don't know it all. Here's what Daniel 2:20-22 says. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To whom belong wisdom and might? He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells within him. I love that verse. God is sovereign over all. He chooses the kings who stay and go. We have to do our part as citizens, of course. But keeping in mind that we want to be known for our love, for our peacemaking, not peacekeeping, peacemaking, for the way we deliver truth with grace and humility and kindness, that's what we want to be known for. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And of course, I use this verse often to measure how I'm doing with wisdom, to kind of take an inventory. How am I doing with this? You know, am I peace-loving? Am I gentle? Am I open to reason? That's a big one. Am I full of mercy and good fruits? Am I unwavering in following Christ? And am I without pretense? But we can also use this verse to discern wisdom in others. This is a good measuring stick. And it's not being judgmental. It's being discerning. We can ask ourselves these questions about any source that we're taking in. Is this pure? Is it peace-loving? Is it gentle? Is it open to reason? Is it full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without pretense? The Bible tells us we will know a tree by the fruit it bears, and we're looking for good fruit. Now, that's quite a list, whether we're applying it to others or applying it to ourselves. It's not easy, particularly when we're passionate and when we're upset and when we're quite honestly appalled at times about what's going on out there. But remember, God never asks us to do something he doesn't give us the power to do. If we are sincerely seeking these attributes of godly wisdom, he will deliver them. We live in a secular world, and we must deal with secular things. But remember, we are not secular. We are not secular. We need to remember that as we navigate our way through this world and through this 2024 election cycle, where everything is going to just get louder and louder and more hateful and more horrible, and the name calling and demonizing and all the things we're already seeing are going to reach a fevered pitch in just a few months. One of my dear coaching clients sent me this quote. It's by Adam Hamilton. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Isn't that good? If we can see ourselves in this way, I believe it will help us navigate any tough situation we find ourselves in the days ahead. I don't know if you know this or not, but life coaching is the second most growing profession in the United States. We probably can thank COVID for that because so many people came out of that experience wanting change. And that might be you. Are you in a transition? Have the kids left home? Are you thinking about retirement, but you can't make sense of how you are going to be fulfilled and serving God well in the next chapter of your life? If any of this resonates with you, life coaching may be your next right step. Let's find out. Head on over to my webpage, go to the coaching tab, and fill out the free discovery call form. I'd love to encourage you as you embark on your next chapter, helping you uncover your God-given potential, deepen your faith, and build confidence and authenticity. Although every client has their own unique story, my prayer and my goal for each client is that her life will blossom with purpose and faith and ultimately be overflowing with joy. Let's talk about salt and light. Matthew 5:13-14. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, we often read this scripture out of context, but it's interesting that in context, Jesus is warning us about persecution. So I'm going to read the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, the blessed are parts. They serve as an invitation to come into the grace that God offers. Matthew 5:1-14. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." It's like he's saying, you're blessed if you walk in the way I have shown you. And all of those attributes, even if you are persecuted for them, will culminate with my followers being salt and light in this world. Now, salt is referenced many times in the New Testament. It was a valuable commodity, and it was not just used to flavor food. Salt preserved food for when crops were scarce, and it was part of the sacrifice at the temple. It could also be used as a disinfectant. It symbolizes friendship and covenant. For instance, in Mark 9:50, the verse is finished with this statement, "Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other." In Colossians 4, Paul writes, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt." Grace and salt go together. Now, in episode 31 of season 4, this current season, I interviewed Stephanie Roussel. And if you haven't listened to that interview, I urge you to go back and listen to it after this one, because it was an important conversation. Stephanie grew up as an atheist in France, was sent to the United States as a teenager as an exchange student to go live with an American family and go to American schools and learn English. And as God would have it, he planted her in a Christian home in the United States. She came to Christ. She flourished. She went back home. She married a Christian man who was also a convert. They traveled the world for their jobs and came back to Pennsylvania many, many years later, anticipating that they would find the same kind of vibrance in Christian community that she had experienced as a young woman. They very much viewed America as a Christian country. And so when she came back all these years later, she noticed that a lot of Christians had lost their flavor. They lost their saltiness. They had a bland kind of faith. And she felt compelled to help the women that she ministered to get their flavor back, to come alive in Christ again. It was just a beautiful picture of her calling and how her ministry, Gospel Spice, came to be. You can hear in the title of her ministry, Gospel Spice, to return spiciness and flavor and vibrancy to our walk as Christians. And I believe that that is a word for all of us, because we can get bland, we can get complacent, and quite honestly, we can just become demoralized in the culture that we're in. So go back and listen to that episode again. It was important, and I loved that it came from a woman with a European and also a worldview that I don't have. The last thing I want to say to you before we end this episode is I know that it can be very scary out there. There are things that keep me up at night, and I don't want you to be afraid. That is exactly where the enemy would have us. And so a lot of times when we're afraid, we start going to places that tell us what we want to hear instead of what truth is. We have to be really careful. Scripture tells us that in the last days that people will not put up with sound teaching. They will go and hear what their itching ears are longing for. I don't want to fall into that. And yet in this polarizing culture, it can be so tempting. I just want to go to be where people are that think like I do. And somehow that will give me control. And somehow that will make me safe. And somehow that will make things okay. The truth is, none of that is true. It will not make you safe. It will not give you control. Because if we didn't learn anything else from the COVID experience, we've learned we are not in control. But as believers, oh, we have the blessed assurance that God is, that God is. So I want to say something to you as I close here today. And then we're going to do the soul fitness exercise because we have time for it in a solo episode. If you are fearful about the future of your children and grandchildren, do not be afraid. If you are fearful over wars and rumors of wars, do not be afraid. If you are fearful over the upcoming elections and divisions in our country, do not be afraid. If you're fearful of health issues, do not be afraid. If you are fearful of the economy and all that goes along with that, do not be afraid. If you are fearful of being persecuted for following Jesus, do not be afraid. Take heart. God is near. He's promised us that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And his church is you and me. Stay in community. Remain in the word. Love deeply. Refuse to see people as enemies. Be the church. My former pastor, now retired, says this: the church is the hope of the world, and together we embrace God's call to be his radical, countercultural, counterinstinctual, forgiving, and grace-extending, peacemaking, reconciling community. This is the hope of the world. Nothing else is. And that's Richard Fredericks. Now let me say a benediction over all of you who are listening to this episode. Thank you for being here. Colossians 1, 9 to 12. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. And now for soul fitness, strengthening your core. I want to take you back to the quote by Adam Hamilton: we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Sister, I want you to write down what that means to you. What does that say to you? Write down where you see beauty in that truth, and write down what the challenges may be for you to live out that truth. And now I want to read one final scripture to you that I've been keeping close by these days, and I hope it's a comfort to you as well. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There is no human being, no king, no president, no political party that can bring you peace. There is none. Jesus gives, not as the world gives, but he gives us that beautiful shalom, which is peace in spite of and in the middle of the chaos. Amen. Well, girlfriends, that's it for now. Thank you so much for stopping by. The next episode, episode 34, will also be a solo episode, and then I'll have a few more interviews and season 4 will be done. Now, before you go, if you're not listening in your car, could you find the subscribe or follow button on your device and follow the Still Becoming podcast? This helps me reach more women who need the message the most. And I don't know if you know this or not, but only the big shot podcasters make money on their podcasts. The rest of us are out here just trying to break even. So if you'd like to help me break even, you can buy me a coffee. It's just a fun way where you can donate as little as $5 to help defray the cost of producing the Still Becoming podcast. Thank you so much for considering that. It helps more than you know. And then finally, I just want to tell you about a new newsletter that I've just developed actually right now as this episode is being released. It's the Still Blooming Coaching Newsletter. It's separate from my normal ministry newsletter that I put out called The Latest from Laura. This one will be filled with coaching questions, tips, resources, and tools to help you coach yourself. It's just a way for me to help you out and to serve you in a different kind of way. I feel there's a need for it, and I wanted to meet that need. So just go to my coaching page on my website, www.laura-acuna.com, hit the coaching tab, and you'll see a button that you can push to subscribe to the coaching newsletter. And just as an aside, the tools and tips and inspiration that I'm providing really are ways to help us become thermostats in the culture around us. May God bless you and keep you until we meet again. I'll see you next time on the Still Becoming podcast.